They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
China makes big moves as confrontation with America heats up. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. There's a shakeup underway at the highest levels in China. President Xi Jinping is moving new people into power on his economic team. Let's talk about that with Sean Ryan at China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Sean, these moves come as the White House is talking tough on China. What's going on?
President Trump has been critical of China, calling it a currency manipulator. And in truth, that's not true anymore. China's government has actually been trying to prop up the Chinese dollar, the renminbi. There's a lot of pressure where Chinese companies and individuals are trying to take money out of the country and get it into U.S. dollars.
What's the broad theme as far as the types of people that are getting into the highest levels of power in China? And what does it say about the direction the country's going in economically?
Right now, there's a lack of confidence both within China and in the international investment community with the people who have been running the economy over the last 2 years. So there's a lot of unprecedented challenges, from a weak non-performing loans in the banking sector to a lot of capital outflows and pressure on the Chinese dollar. So right now you're seeing new appointments who can sort of steady investors, build up confidence, and most importantly, perhaps sort of push through some of the economic reforms that are really needed to make it more of a market-oriented economy, Mark.
Now, there's been this ongoing conversation in China about trying to diversify beyond manufacturing, beyond exports, get people inside the country spending more. Where are we in that conversation? How does this economic leadership change fit into all that?
China's shifting. It's now moving more towards a service and innovation-based economy. Right now, over 50% of the economy is based off of consumption, and most of that is really being driven by services. So Americans need to realize that China now is the place to sell Apple iPhones into rather than the place just to manufacture it.
Okay, Sean Ryan at China Market Research Group. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark.
The Daytona 500 is this weekend, but the big race doesn't have the big audience it used to. Times are tough for NASCAR. Attendance has been falling for so long that the organization stopped reporting crowd numbers. Marketplace's Rima Kreis looks at why stock car racing is struggling and at the fight to turn things around.
About a decade ago, NASCAR was crowned America's fastest-growing sport, but its TV viewership has fallen almost 50% since then, according to Sports Business Daily. Austin Karp is assistant managing editor.
People are moving away to other options, and NASCAR has felt that particularly hard.
Karp says sponsors used to back drivers for an entire season, but now they don't want to commit to 30-plus races.
Even someone like Dale Earnhardt Jr. has to split up a lot of his season-long sponsorships.
NASCAR, like other sports, has downsized its venues so they don't look so empty. And it's shaking up its format. This season, each race will be divided into three stages. Jerry Caldwell, general manager at Bristol Motor Speedway, says NASCAR needed to find ways
to make this an easier sport for our core race fans to consume, but also to attract the younger generation.
Which, let's be real, has a shorter attention span. NASCAR has some time to figure things out. Its $8 billion TV rights deal with Fox and NBC is good through 2024. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
The Oscars are Sunday, meaning stars are prepping formal wear and rehearsing acceptance speeches. Some will be laced with political messages. Celebrities take stands because they care deeply about issues and feel the need to give back. And of course, because they want to whip up lots of favorable PR and make piles of money. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on the big business of getting political.
Last year, the Oscars tried a thank you scroll along the bottom of the screen to get winners to move away from the deadly, boring, breathless stream of appreciation speeches. It didn't work.
I want to thank Gail and Anne and Nina and Working Title. And
but this year, maybe we're going to get something different.
I have never seen, at least since I can remember, actors and artists be so engaged in politics and want to speak out
That's Justin Makita. He and Todd Hawkins help celebrities connect to social causes through their company, Hawkins Makita. Since the election, he says their phone has been ringing and ringing and ringing. Celebs want a cause. They want to make a difference.
So they come to us and they say, I'm super passionate about X. I want to solve campus assaults. I want to work on the future of the farmer.
But turning that passion, whatever it is, into action takes some careful consideration. Celebrities are brands. Their livelihood depends on their fans. So you don't want to alienate them. That's the low bar. After that, you look for a cause that'll resonate. Here's Makita's business partner, Todd Hawkins.
It's about using that platform and leveraging the platform in a way that makes sense.
So trying to rally a bunch of teenage fans around Social Security reform might be a tough sell. Sometimes, says Makita, the trick is getting a celebrity client to really home in.
Because as a brand, you need to make sure that you're focused and that your fans of your brand sort of understand your message.
If a pairing works, it can be good business for both.
Celebrities give causes exposure.
Joe Piazza is the author of Celebrity Inc.
And causes give celebrities their humanity and likability.
Likeability that's important for any brand to stay on top. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, we had a story about China and another about Hollywood. Here is one with both. China's Recon Holding Company has taken a majority stake in the studio Millennium Films in a $100 million deal. The studio is best known for action movies like the Expendables franchise. This is the latest in a series of major deals where Chinese investors have snapped up movie studios and theater companies, and it won't be the last. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.